Margaret Thatcher, who passed away yesterday at the age of 87, made history, made enemies, and made music in a way.
I said, I see no joy, I see only sorrow, I see no chance for your bright new tomorrow. So stand down, Margaret, stand down, please, stand down.
The English Beats' Stand Down Margaret. English Beat, one of the bands, just one of the bands, that jumped into the genre of Thatcher protest music back in the 80s, a genre that began almost the moment she became prime minister. It attracted such titles as Tramp the Dirt Down, Elvis Costello imagining Thatcher's end back in 1983, or Morrissey imagining her on the guillotine in 1988, and any number of unplayable insults and angry rants from bands like The Clash, Pink Floyd, and Crass. But music is just the beginning of Margaret Thatcher's cultural impact. Martha Carney is host of Newsnight Arts Review on BBC Television and World at One on BBC Radio, joins us from London. Martha, thanks for joining us.
Nice to talk to you, John.
So much of Thatcher worked its way into pop culture, into satire in Britain. What are you exploring?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And I think it was because she was a figure which really polarized opinion. And I think you find writers today in the newspapers, Ian McEwan, the novelist, saying that in a way, having such a strong figure as Margaret Thatcher gave a great deal of inspiration to artists because there was something to fight against, if you like.
And here's something, and again, I was going through so many of these references over the last 24 hours. Here's the puppet show spitting image that took out a bead on Margaret Thatcher that we would never do in the United States. Here, listen.
Right, honourable gentlemen, with all due respect, as a blundering amateur.
Well, the right honourable lady should know all about that. Never, never has a leader of the Conservative Party displayed such gross incompetence.
The right honourable gentleman is, with all due respect, a balding Welsh kid, totally unfit for how the position he does.
The right honourable lady, quite frankly and with all due respect, makes me puke. In fact, she makes the rest of my party puke as well.
Now, Martha Carney, is that documentary or is that fiction there? I can't quite tell.
Well, you know, that was an extraordinary program, Spitting Image. Very, very funny. It was a puppet show. And you need to look up online to see some of the images. Margaret Thatcher was always, particularly towards the end, was depicted in a man's suit and with a very kind of male, very butch voice. There she was in the House of Commons, I think. But my favourite sketch had her in a restaurant surrounded by members of her cabinet. And the waiter comes up to her and says, what are you having to eat? And she said, well, I'm going to have roast beef. And the waiter says to her, and what about the vegetables? And she says, they'll have what I'm having.
Oh,
I mean, my voice isn't as good as Margaret, as good an impersonation as Stephen Allen, who you heard there, but I think you get the gist. It was quite an outrageous program. But actually, it shows the limits of satire, because even though that program was going on really attacking her in a most visceral way week after week, as were many other comedians, she went on to win, you know, landslide victory.
Indeed.
After landslide victory.
You know, it went well beyond simple satire into deep economic criticism of what was going on in the government and the conservative movement around the world. Here's a clip from the movie Brassed Off.
Over the last 10 years, this bloody government has systematically destroyed an entire industry. Our industry. And not just our industry. Our communities. Our homes. Our lives. All in the name of progress. And for a few lousy bob. I'll tell you something else you might not know as well. A fortnight ago, this band's pit were closed. Another 1,000 men lost their jobs. And that's not all they lost. Most of them lost the will to win a while ago.
That's Pete Postlethwaite, the late Pete Postlethwaite, in that movie Brassed Off, about an English coal mine, about the brass band that went with it. It's a comedy, but it's also a deeply emotional film.
Yes, indeed it was. And I think it reflects a great deal of antipathy towards Margaret Thatcher that endures even to today. And this was because of the miners' strike in the 80s, when she stood up to the National Union of Miners, and police were bussed up to traditional mining areas in Yorkshire and Nottinghamshire. And there were huge demonstrations, riots, confrontations with the police. And I think in many of those areas, they're never going to forgive Margaret Thatcher because what they say what she did to the local economy. Now, her supporters would say that this was a necessary adjustment, that these were unprofitable industries that needed to modernise and were being held back by the actions of the unions.
One of my favourites is this movie, Hanif Qureshi's script, Stephen Frears, the director, Sammy and Rosie Get Laid.
For a long time, right, I've been for non-violence. Never gone for burning things down. I can see the attraction, but not the achievement. After all, you guys ended colonialism non-violently. You'd sit down all over the place, right? Well, we have a kind of domestic colonialism to deal with here, because they don't allow us to run our own communities.
That movie really raised so many deep issues about immigration, about assimilation, and the economy during the Thatcher period.
Yes, and those issues of assimilation and race very much came to the fore. There were a number of race riots, particularly in Brixton in the early 80s, which sparked, as you were playing earlier, sparked a great deal of protest music and the sense of alienation that a number of people felt. But, you know, let's not, when you play, you have to think the world of the arts is very much a world of left liberal thinking. And Margaret Thatcher was hugely popular in many other parts of the country. Her own favourite television comedy was a programme called Yes, Prime Minister, which I recommend. It's about the workings of Whitehall and civil servants behind the scenes.
And of course, we should end on the protest songs of Billy Bragg, who really made a career out of criticising Margaret Thatcher, but also Meryl Streep in The Iron Lady. We don't have time to actually play the clip, but her voice and her visual really brought back all of the complexity of this character there at the end.
No, absolutely. And in fact, you know, I think British audiences were amazed to see how well Meryl Streep did manage to portray Margaret Thatcher, someone who's known so well in this country.
Martha Carney, thanks so much.
No problem. Good to talk to you.
Martha Carney is the host of the Newsnight Arts Review on BBC Television and The World at One on BBC Radio. Remembering Margaret Thatcher in pop culture. This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And let's not leave the whole Margaret Thatcher thing there in the protest songs that helped define an era of pop music. When you think about it, the Thatcher epic, if you're looking through her eyes, constitutes a whole lot of changes in the pop world. When Margaret Thatcher first entered Parliament to represent the people of Finchley, this was the number one hit in the UK. Side Saddle is the name of the tune. No vocal. The rock and roll era was just beginning, and as you can hear, the British invasion was not even close to hitting the beaches of America. The number two hit that year? Very tame, but starting to suggest things to come.
Got myself a-crying, talking, sleeping, walking, living doll. Got to do my best to please her just cause she's a living doll.
Living doll, Cliff Richard and the Drifters. In this odd moment, Thatcher becomes Minister of Pensions. Not exactly a place to feel the pulse of change. She eventually became Minister of Education. And our listener, Polly Brown from Tacoma, Washington, has this story. Not a political comment. I met Margaret Thatcher on two occasions, the first time when she was Minister of Education and the speaker at our speech day in high school. She was one of the few women politicians in Britain, and her message was inspiring. I had the privilege of showing her around the school. I was 18 years old, and she showed such interest in what my interests were. 5 years later, after college and being part of a very forward-thinking new school, Margaret Thatcher was directed to my department, and I explained what we had hoped to achieve in my department. On leaving my room, she said, "It was lovely to meet you again." I was impressed at her memory. Here's another of your comments about Thatcher. Joseph Rice says, "Powerful, bewildering, and accomplished. The USA could benefit from a leader such as the late Lady Thatcher." Or Lucy Bond, "So sad. She was a wonderful lady."
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song.
As Thatcher was rising in the late 60s and early 70s as a minister and a political leader, the British invasion in pop music was well underway. But most of the memories we heard from you come from these later times in the 80s when she made her mark on the world and pop music in her own right. These sentiments partly explain the intensity of the anti-Thatcher music you've already heard this hour. Nick from New York City. Margaret Thatcher brought the vicious poison of Ayn Rand to her policies and ruined Britain. Or Stan Squires from Vancouver. I wanted to say that Margaret Thatcher was not liked in Northern Ireland and Argentina. She caused the death of many people in these two countries. She should have been charged with war crimes.
I never dreamed I could cry so hard. That ain't like a man. I could fly like a bird. Some days had a place where I could land.
But by the time Margaret Thatcher reaches the end of her term as Prime Minister, this is the number one UK pop hit. Elton John's Healing Hands. A good tune for moving on, perhaps. Not his most memorable. Easy to get past. But plenty of Brits aren't moving on, even after Thatcher's passing. There's a social media campaign to get Ding Dong the Witch is Dead to make it to the number one in Britain this week. But in all of the Thatcher trivia and fun facts, this one was my favorite. There's no way to absolutely verify this, but her favorite pop tune, hers, from a number of sources, is the tune that heralded the British invasion to the U.S. It's a classic, like Maggie, and like her, attracts strong opinions. The 1962 hit Telstar from the Tornadoes, the first big UK hit to top the charts in the US. Rest in peace, Maggie, whatever your playlist.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.